The next LOS asks us to distinguish between dependent and independent events. Independent events refers to events for which the occurrence of one has no influence on the occurrence of the others. The definition of independent events can be expressed in terms of conditional probabilities. That is, events A and B are independent if and only if the probability of A, given the occurrence of B, is equal to the unconditional probability of A. Equivalently, the conditional probability of B, given the occurrence of A, is simply equal to the unconditional probability of B. If this condition is not satisfied, events are dependent events. That is, the probability of the occurrence of one event depends on the occurrence of the other. In our interest rate and recession example, recall that the events of an increase in interest rates and a recession are not independent. The occurrence of an increase in interest rates affects the probability of the occurrence of a recession. In our example, the unconditional probability of a recession was 0.34, but the probability of a recession given an increase in interest rates was higher, 70%. Examples of independent events are dice tosses and coin flips. A die has no memory, therefore the probability of rolling a 4 on the second toss is independent of what number came up on the first toss. The next LOS is to calculate and interpret an unconditional probability using the total probability rule. The total probability rule highlights the relationship between unconditional and conditional probabilities of mutually exclusive and exhaustive events. It is used to explain the unconditional probability of an event in terms of probabilities that are conditional upon other events. Continuing with our interest rate and recession example, let's assume that a recession can occur only with either of two events: interest rates increase or interest rates do not increase. These two events, interest rates increase and interest rates do not increase, are called complements. Note that complements are mutually exclusive and exhaustive events. Either one occurs or the other occurs. One of the events must occur. Now, since a recession can occur only with the two complementary events, it is logical that the probability of a recession is equal to the sum of the joint probabilities of a recession and each of the individual complementary events. That is, the probability of a recession is equal to the probability of a recession and an increase in interest rates plus the probability of a recession and no increase in interest rates. Applying the multiplication rule to this relationship, we can say that the probability of a recession is equal to the probability of a recession given an increase in interest rates times the probability of an increase in interest rates plus the probability of a recession given no increase in interest rates times the probability of no increase in interest rates. The next LOS asks us to explain the use of conditional expectation in investment applications. Expected values or returns can be calculated using conditional probabilities. As the name implies, conditional expected values are contingent on the outcome of some other event. An analyst would use a conditional expected value to revise his expectations when new information arrives. Consider the effect of a tariff on steel imports on the returns of a domestic steel stock. The stock's expected return, given that the government imposes the tariff, will be higher than the expected return if the tariff is not imposed. Using the total probability rule, we can estimate the unconditional expected return on the stock as the sum of the expected return given no tariff times the probability a tariff will not be enacted, plus the expected return given a tariff times the probability a tariff will not be enacted. The next LOS is to explain the use of a tree diagram to represent an investment problem. A general framework called a tree diagram can be used to show the probabilities of various outcomes. The branches of the tree are angled left to right lines that lead to different possible outcomes and are labeled with the probabilities of the various outcomes enumerated. Using the rules of probability, we can calculate the probabilities of each of the outcomes and label them on the right-hand side of the tree. The next LOS asks us to calculate and interpret covariance and correlation. In many finance applications, we are interested in how two random variables move together. For investment applications, one of the most frequently analyzed pairs of random variables is the returns of two assets. Investors and managers frequently ask questions such as, "What is the relationship between the return for stock A and the return for stock B?" Or, "What is the relationship between the performance of the S&P 500 and that of the automotive industry?" Covariance is a measure of how two assets move together. It is the probability-weighted sum of the products of the deviations of the two random variables from their respective expected values. The covariance is a general representation of the same concept as the variance. That is, variance measures how a random variable moves with itself, whereas the covariance measures how one random variable moves with respect to another random variable. The covariance may range in value from negative infinity to positive infinity. In practice, the covariance is difficult to interpret. This is mostly because it can take on extremely large values ranging from negative to positive infinity, and like the variance, these values are expressed in terms of square units, percent squared in the case of investment returns. Such units are difficult to interpret. To make the covariance of two random variables easier to interpret, it may be divided by the product of standard deviations of the two random variables. The result is called the correlation coefficient, or simply the correlation. So, the correlation between two random variables, x and y, is defined as the covariance between x and y divided by the standard deviation of x times the standard deviation of y. Correlation measures the strength of the linear relationship between two random variables. Correlation is a unitless measurement and can have values from negative 1 through positive 1. If the correlation between two random variables is positive 1, this means that a movement in one random variable results in an exact, measurable, positive movement in the other random variable. If the correlation between two random variables is negative 1, this means that the movement in one random variable results in an exact, measurable, negative movement in the other random variable. Now, if the correlation between two random variables is 0, this means that there is no linear relationship between the variables. Knowing the outcome of one of the variables tells us nothing about the outcome of the other. The next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret the expected value, variance, and standard deviation of a random variable and of returns on a portfolio. The expected return, or the expected value of the return and variance of return for a portfolio of assets, can be determined using the properties of the individual assets in the portfolio. To do so, it is necessary to establish the portfolio weight for each asset. The individual weight for each of the portfolio's assets is equal to the market value of each individual asset divided by the total market value of the portfolio. Now, while the portfolio's expected return is equal to the weighted average of the expected returns of the individual assets in a portfolio, it is important that you recognize that a portfolio's standard deviation is not the weighted average of the standard deviations of the individual portfolio assets, unless the correlations between the asset returns are plus 1. That is, unless the asset returns are perfectly positively correlated. The standard deviation of the portfolio return does use the portfolio weights and asset standard deviations, but it is more complicated than the expected return calculation. The standard deviation of the return on a portfolio depends on the covariance or correlation between the returns of the assets in the portfolio. For a two-asset portfolio with assets A and B, the variance of returns is the weight in A squared times the variance of A, plus the weight in B squared times the variance of B, plus 2 times the weight in A times the weight in B times the covariance of returns between A and B.